Okay, the last thing we left off yesterday was what happens if somebody cooked a pariv dish in a meat pan, okay? So let's say you cooked vegetables, pariv vegetables, in a meat pot. So we learned you definitely don't have to wait 6 hours because you're not fleshing. But the question is, can I put cheese into that parva food that I now cooked in a meat pan, a meat pot?
So, you take it out of the pan or go out into the pan?
No, I'm saying you take it out of the pan. Well, you don't want to put it in the pan. It's a fleshig pan. You take the vegetables. Okay, you cook macaroni, okay, in a meat pot. Now I want to put cheese onto the macaroni. They have, as they call it, mac and cheese, right? Now the question is, am I allowed to or not? So there's different minhagim. The accepted minhag in most places is that if the pot wasn't used for 24 hours, fleshy pot wasn't used for meat for 24 hours before you cook the macaroni in the pot, so then you could even put cheese on it. If the pot was used for 24 hours. If it was used for 24 hours, so even though the macaroni is potive, Peter, you don't have to wait 6 hours, but the fact that it was within 24 hours, so the custom is that you don't eat cheese together with it. You can eat cheese right before it or right after it. But you can't, the custom is not to eat it together with cheese. In other words, you wouldn't put cheese on the macaroni. But you can have macaroni and later eat the cheese, or cheese and then eat the macaroni, just not together. Well, you have this very practical also. It's not only about a pot. You have this, by the way, that's clearly if the pot is clean. If the pot is not cleaned and there's meat residue in it, then the macaroni is fleshig. I mean, there's no question. You have to wait 6 hours after it. What happens Friday afternoon? It's very common. You bake chicken in the oven or meat in the oven. And then you want to bake a cake for Shabbos. Now, can I have coffee with this cake on Shabbos morning? So if the oven's not clean, again, there's not much to talk about. Okay? But if the oven is clean and the oven wasn't used for 24 hours for meat, then according to all opinions, you can have coffee, dairy coffee, together with the cake. You can eat the cake together with the coffee. If the oven was used within the 24 hours for meat, like for instance, Friday morning you bake chicken, and then Friday afternoon you want to bake a cake, so it was used within 24 hours, so then the custom is you don't eat it directly with meat or with milk, but you can eat it right before, right after. That's the accepted custom. What?
If the cake was covered?
If the cake was covered? It depends. A lot of times people cook chicken uncovered. You know how many times on Friday afternoon, I could say weekly, I get a call, I baked chicken and fish in the oven together at the same time. So I say, were they covered, uncovered? So if one of them was tightly covered, then I'll be then you can eat the other one because the taste of the meat and the fish, which is sakana, by the way, which according to many opinions is even stricter. Hamura sakantami isura, sakana is even stricter than what's kosher and not kosher. But if they were both covered properly, so the steam didn't go from one to the next, so then it's not a problem. But if the cake is covered at the time you make, so while you're cooking the chicken or after the chicken?
After
is within 24 hours, even if the chicken's covered, you don't eat it directly with milk. Eat it right before, right after. So dairy equipment, when you have, by the way, the OU stopped that a lot. They used to write OUDE, OKDE. Now they write the OUD and OKD. I'm just telling you what they stopped it for a lot of reasons. Now, what happens, and this is very common, you have let's say, a parva ice cream made in dairy equipment. But they didn't kasha the equipment between the runs. So now you have parva ice cream in a milchika machine that was used that 24 within 24 hours for the dairy. So that's when they write O-U-D-E. Dairy equipment means the equipment was used for dairy within 24 hours of making of this parva ice cream or parva food or whatever it is. So then the din is, you can't eat it directly with meat. You can eat it after, you can eat it before, but you can't eat it directly with it. Or, if you keep Chol of Yisrael, then you can't eat it. Because we are machman the equipment, and therefore you can't eat it anyway. But for those that are not machman Chol of Yisrael, O-U-D-E, or O-K-D-E, or whatever it is means it was made in dairy equipment, the food itself is parv. So basically they're telling you, you cannot eat it directly with meat. That's what it means. Okay, next. Okay, now this is for meat to milk. You have to wait 6 hours. How long do you have to wait between milk and meat? So here there's a lot of different customs. According to many opinions in Shulchan Aruch and Halacha, all you have to do is rinse your mouth and eat something right after the dairy and you're good to go with meat. Some people have a minig, they wait a half an hour. According to our minig, is based on the Zayar. The Zayar says you should wait an hour between milk and meat. So our minig is that after you eat milk, you have to make a bracha chreina, like we said yesterday about the meat and the milk, and then our minig is to wait an hour between milk and meat. And that applies even if you just drink milk. You don't eat cheese. You just drink milk. You wait an hour. Now, there's certain cheeses that are called in halacha gvina kasha. Gvina kasha means hard cheeses. Now, according to halacha, after hard cheeses, you need to wait 6 hours to eat meat. Just like for meat to milchix, you need to wait 6 hours. From hard cheeses to meat, you also need to wait 6 hours. Why? Because again, hard cheeses, and we'll discuss what a hard cheese is. Aged cheeses also take long to digest. They also get stuck in your teeth. And so both reasons that we have for meat and milk. So therefore, Halacha says you have to wait for 6 hours. Now, the definition of aged cheese, in Halacha it says cheese that was aged for 6 months. That's what it says in Halacha, the definition of hard cheese. So cheese that was aged. So you have, there's a whole list of cheeses, by the way, out in the Kasher's book. They have a whole pages of which cheeses are hard cheeses, and which cheeses are, like Parmesan cheese is hard cheese. Other cheeses are hard cheeses. Other cheeses, like the regular pizza type of cheese, is not 6 hours, it's 1 hour. But there's a lot of different customs and opinions when it comes to, for milk to meat. Like we said, some people right away, some people wait a half an hour, some people, our custom is to wait an hour. Now, some poskim, now there's another debate. What is the definition of aged 6 months? Does it mean in the process it was aged 6 months? Or do you also include from the time the cheese was made until you eat it? There are opinions in Halacha that are machmir, that cheese, not let's say it was aged for 3 months, 2 months, but by the time they sent it from Europe, whatever, it aged another 4 months. There are opinions that say you have to wait then 6 hours or not. Most people are lenient with it, unless if it's mamish, the hard cheese. There are people that are even more machmir, by the way, and most 99% of the frum world doesn't go by that. And some poskim say that all cheeses today you have to wait 6 hours. Why? Because the process that they do in the machinery, in the process of making cheese, in 2 hours, they do what normally would age in 6 months. But it's done in two hours. once, I mentioned this always, I was once in a cheese factory here, looking about the Chol of Yisrael once, many years ago. From the time the milk went into the vat until it came out, packaged blocks of cheese, was 2 hours. Beginning to end. I was watching these vats, is very interesting. You put the chemicals in the vats, then you have these big mixing, like a mixer bowl, but they have big mixers that are mixing it up in the vat. And in 2 hours, it's hardened, packaged. So there are people that are machmed, that's also called HC, but lapel, like I said, almost everybody is not machmed like that. And you don't have to wait 6 hours. Okay, next. You also have to clean your teeth. Like we said before, you have to eat something and chew something to separate it. Now over here, he brings down, in Shavuot Malachim, what?
If you wait an hour, do you also have to do the chewing?
You should eat something between and mince your mouth, yeah. It could be a little bit of whatever. Now the question is like this. He talks about brushing teeth, so he discusses this. Does toothpaste have to be kosher or not? The same question, does mouthwash need to be kosher or not? There are a lot of mouthwashes that have glycerin in it. Now, glycerin can be a vegetable glycerin, which is good. It could be an animal derivative, which wouldn't be good. There's sorbitol. There's a bunch of things with chametz and kashrus and a lot of the toothpaste and mouthwashes, and what's kosher or not. Most people say it doesn't have to be kosher. It doesn't have to be kosher. You don't need to have kosher toothpaste and kosher mouthwash. Why not? Because you're not eating it. It stays in your mouth. You're spitting it out. You're not swallowing it. So it's not a problem. Just like if somebody has a piece of leather. Yeah, like what?
Gum?
No, gum is different, and I'll tell you why. Because gum, I'll preface it with, I'm going to be a Jewish and answer with a question. Do you make a bracha when you brush your teeth? No. Do you make a bracha when you chew gum? Why do you make a bracha when you chew gum? You're not swallowing the gum. But the flavoring that you swallow of the gum, that you're swallowing. Toothpaste, you don't swallow the flavoring. The flavoring stays in your mouth and you're spitting it out. The flavor of the gum is what's trace, by the way, usually. That's the problem. And therefore, that is what you're swallowing. So therefore, you make a brach on it. And therefore, it has to be kosher. I mean, gum would have to be kosher. What?
What about these, let's say it wasn't,
Listerine strips.
You're swallowing the taste, like gum. You should say a brach on
it. It happens to be kosher. But do you say a brach on it? People don't make a brach on that. But you have a lot of times the homeopathic palates.
Yeah.
You know, the little palate. In fact, tonight I had 2 calls about that tonight, about homeopathic palates that you put in your mouth. You put it under your tongue and it dissolves under the tongue. The problem with a lot of them is there's lactose in it, in the homeopathic palates. But the amount of lactose in these homeopathic stuff is like bottle 1 in 1,000 most of the time. So they're really not a big problem because, again, you're not really eating it and it's for medicinal purposes. So there's another heter in that, even if it's not kosher for medicinal purposes, not everybody holds like that, but there are a lot of leniencies with medicinal purposes.
It sounds like you get a lot of calls from this type of stuff.
Yeah, once in a while.
Later.
I understand the palates, but the lactose is not the taste.
The grape is
okay. So yeah, if you, a lot of times it's imitation grape. If it's real grape, natural grape, it could be a shayla. But it could be a shayla. It could be a shayla of bittel. Yayin stam is bottle 1 in 6.
Can you just swallow it?
What, the palate?
Don't let the palate melt.
No, there's another issue. There's another issue, and this is a big leniency. In Shulchan Aruch it says, Bal Nefesh Yachmir, but in Halacha, if you take a medicine and you swallow it, and you don't chew it, and it's not liquid, then according to actual Halacha, it doesn't have to be kosher. Bal Nefesh said Yachmir. But if people have medicine, let me tell you a little secret. Look at all your Advils and Tylenols and all those everyday stuff that people use, there's stearate in there. Look at the ingredients. Stearate, by definition, is an animal derivative.
Steroid?
Stearate, not steroids. That's in the sports department.
So it's better to get a kosher title, like the Agway brand?
Yeah, the ones that don't work, you should get, yeah. Huh? No, no, no. I should. It has steroid, but no, it's not the din of meat eating. The Moshe Feinstein has an interesting tshuva. Somebody asked us a long time ago. Years ago, iron pills. They're made actually from liver. The real good ones that work are actually made from liver. So there's a tshuva that the Moshe. Somebody asked him, "Do you have to wait 6 hours if you take a liver pill that you swallow?" Because it's meat. Mamish, it's meat. You have to wait 6 hours. See, it's not a very long tshuva, but the Paskin's lapel, you don't have to wait. You don't have to wait at all for it. It's not considered meat. So it's not considered meat, but I'm saying the question is it a treif ingredient? So the fact that you swallow it, for instance, chewable, I'm not saying it's not kosher, chewable Tylenol is kosher, by the way. But I'm saying a chewable medicine is a bigger kashrus problem than a pill you swallow. Pill you swallow, then it's not a problem. You're not eating it. Liquid that you drink. So if an adult especially has a choice, and that's I have very often also, you know, they have a choice of getting a chewable medicine, adults I'm saying, or a pill, they should definitely get the pill. Because the liquid, many times it's flavorings that could be questionable. You know that orange flavoring, I don't know if it still is, but orange sodas and all orange, it used to be made, the flavoring came from a worm. Just for the record. Yeah.